What's up, Alchemists? Welcome back to the podcast. It's Tom, or Full Data, and today we are here talking about AI in gaming, the art, and everything else that AI is getting into. It's rather a big space and very interesting space, and it's changing or revolutionizing the world that we're sitting in. As for me, I am all about AI. I think AI is going to be a great thing for humanity and really push us forward in a lot of different ways, but there, I think there are a lot of people who are against it. So we're going to discuss this and more on today's episode. So I'm very excited to jump into this. So AI, oh gosh, it's been what, since it came out big in last year in November, right? November 2022. That started the whole AI revolution with ChatGPT. I don't think it was around before that, but I think it came out, you know, more to the public, and the public was taken by surprise with it, and it has taken off pretty far. It's used for everything and every day, from asking basic questions, from math homework for kids, helping them write essays. Some kids use it for good, some kids use it for bad, and we'll get into that conversation as well. But I think it's just used in a very different ways. I think AI is an absolutely amazing little tool that is just going to grow and get more powerful. And I firmly believe that in the next 5 to 10 years, if you're not using AI, you are going to be extremely behind, especially in the corporate world. People, I think, who are using AI and using it thoroughly will be the ones that will advance, while the ones who are not using AI will be the ones left behind in the corporate world or not advanced. So AI is making lots of noises. There's a lot of criticisms behind it. But I think AI overall is going to be a very good tool, whether in tech, art, gaming, whatever it might be, content creation, using AI to build your brand and to build your tools or assist help you building your tools, I think is going to be a very powerful tool to have in your handbag. Not using it, I really think is poor form. So let's talk about AI, I guess, in the gaming world right now. A lot of people are like, oh, people are using AI to create art in their games and this, that, and the other thing. And I don't see an issue with that. What's the big deal? And I think, you know, maybe people are potentially losing their job from it. But what if they're using it in the correct way, where they have an idea and instead of drawing up concept art, they can have AI use concept art, and then from there, they draw it from there. I don't see any issue with that, and I think that's an okay thing to do. I think it's just working smarter and not harder. I think it's no different than a coder saying, hey, I have this code I want to develop. Develop me the skeleton code for it, and then you take care of the rest. So, yes, maybe developing the full art using AI is not great, but then maybe using small things for art inside of games where you don't want to build all these small little different types of details, where AI can take care of that and they can download that and import it into the game. So I think there's better ways of just working and using AI as a tool to work smarter and not harder, and able to build out different things for yourself so you can get jobs done quicker, instead of sitting there working on, you know, the smaller, minute, maybe more involved details that you don't need to, where AI can take care of the small stuff and you can work on the bigger stuff that is more important. So I think using AI correctly is really important. I don't see an issue with AI in gaming. I don't see an issue with AI writing stories for gaming. As long as the person who is the story writer who is writing it, you know, maybe has a, you know, let's say like a beginning part to it, and then it looks to AI for more help for it. Like, hey, you know, look at my story I've written. What can we make better? What can we change? What can we make sound better? And then it takes those ideas from AI. It doesn't tell AI to write a whole video game story. It asks AI to write up, take what I have, review it, tell me what I can make better. Does it sound good? And from there, you increase your knowledge, or you increase your, what's the word I'm looking for here? You increase your productivity is what I'm looking for, so that you can actually then, you know, take your storyboard that you have or your story that creation you have and run it through another area that will provide you insight. I think AI is a very powerful tool if used correctly. And yes, I will agree with people that unfortunately there are many people who do not use AI for good and use it just to cheat, get by really quick, and who cares about anything else. But I think if video game companies use it the right way, it could really set them apart from video game companies who are not using AI. So that's how I feel about AI in gaming. I don't really see much of an issue with it as long as used correctly. I don't want to play a game that has just fully AI cons, unless they are transparent about that. Yes, we built this whole game using AI. We developed the code, but any of the art assets was AI created. And even think about from an indie developer. You know, maybe there are certain things. Yeah, they do use AI as majority of their assets, because they're one person or maybe a 5-person team who just needs to get things out there, so they can sit there and draw, you know, all these different things. And now they can push out a you know, work on code, work on different things, and push out a quality product instead of trying to draw every single piece of asset is out there. So I can understand there's both sides to it, but I think if used correctly and in a smart way, AI can benefit the world of gaming. I don't really see an issue with it. As long as it's not being used to cheat your way through gaming. Or creating your gaming content that is fully AI driven, from the code, from the story to the asset. That will kind of take away from the human feel. And then you're just selling a product that you didn't even make. So that's where I would have an issue with it. But if we're using it to just to do different type of assets, getting concept art, maybe help creating different small details for your game that you just don't have the time to sit down and draw. Helping with your storyboarding and creating a story for it, and maybe helping with your code. You know, maybe walk into a bug that you can't get past. You can throw it into GPT, and it can help you fix the code and figure out your issue that you're having. So, like I said, using it in gaming, I think is a very smart thing to do, as long as you're not trying to just sell a game based on, hey, I sold this, and not being transparent that AI created like 60% of it. So I think that's where it's going to differ, where you're being transparent and where you're not. So I think AI and gaming will be very beneficial to developers. I know a lot of people have a lot of issues with that, and that's okay. And you're not supposed to like everything. But I think developers are, at least this day and age in 2024, are expected to make these massive games. Gaming has gotten ridiculously huge. I don't think I've ever, if it's not a AAA game, if it's not a AAA game, you know, most games, you know, indie games are pretty small in size and they're pretty great. Amazing. Indie games are amazing. Once it becomes a AAA game, these games are massive in size. The expectations are through the roof. Gamers have ungodly expectations in games. And I blame the gaming community for that and the whole thing. Like, we don't need a Sony produced God of War game every single time. We just need good quality. And that good quality doesn't need to be an A+ every single time. I will take a B-rated game. That's okay. As long as the game is fun, that's what matters. And I'm hoping that with the addition to AI coming into a lot of these different sectors, at least gaming will see a change where the stories will be better. The writing will be better. The art or assets will look good. The music will look good. There won't be so many bugs because they will have really an extra. Each developer could have their own assistant next to them working along with their other coworkers to really fix things. So I think AI is a good boon in the gaming world. We'll have to see what happens to it. So that's my take on gaming. I would love to hear your thoughts, so let me know about that. The other area of AI I think is going to be very interesting is art. And this one I think is a really touchy subject. This whole AI poisoner that's out there where it poisons AI, so it can't go out and generate art anymore. So if you type in, you know, greenery dog, it's AI poisoner, keeps poisons all the different artworks out there. And then it also, I think that's crazy because AI won't be able to draw a dog anymore. It'll end up drawing a cow or something because as you're poisoning, it doesn't know what a dog is anymore. And to that, I have to say, it makes me want to use art and makes me not want to use artists anymore because, I'll explain my thoughts there in a second, is I think you using AI poisoners is a little ridiculous. I think AI is using its wealth of information to come up with different things that are references based on what that AI is looking at. Do you say, hey, draw me a character with a beard, blue eyes, red hair, a big ass sword, and whatever armor. Maybe somewhere across the line drew that on DeviantArt, somewhere in the realm of the internet, and having all that information up until 2023 now is when AGPT was last updated. Yeah, maybe it referenced your art. It's not stealing your art, because if you are the same artist, and here are my thoughts on this, you are the same artist, and I come to you and I ask you to draw the same exact thing. You're not the DeviantArt artist that drew the original thing, but I found it on the internet. I thought it was cool. I bring it to you and say, hey, reference this image. This is what I want my character to sort of look like or to be referenced as. So now as an artist, you do that, but you take it and you make it your own original art, but you reference someone else. And I can tell you how many times I've actually brought video game assets to an artist, Tom Berry's people from game, things from Crown Trigger, many different games, Neo, a bunch of other different Schoolhouse Rocks. I used a logo for that. I was like, hey, reference my logo off this when I was used to be Born Ass Radio back in the day. Just a lot of different places that would, or a lot of different assets that I gave to many different artists across my time being content creator and saying, reference this art. Is that stealing? Should I poison their knowledge because artists out there might get cranky or upset because they are having their art stolen? But in reality, artists do this every day. So the fact that we're getting so pissed off about AI doing the same exact thing, and yes, maybe because there is a side of it of why go to an artist when an AI can do it, because AI loses that human touch. So again, I could come to AI, and if me as a content creator, I would come to AI, I might have an idea, I'd use AI to get what I like already, but then I'd probably take that same artwork and go to my artist friend and be like, hey, I found this on the internet. I used AI to generate something, but I'm not really feeling it. You know, I feel like it needs a human touch. Can you please generate this? And yes, maybe there will be people who will do that, but then maybe there will not. People will take exactly what AI gave it and maybe take the first pass of it and drop through it again. Or they'll probably do different passes through it. So like Midjourney, DALL-E, they are pretty powerful tools in terms of the imaging generating area. But I do not believe that it is something that we need to poison, because people are upset that they feel like it's stealing their work. And with that, I will say, then you shouldn't be allowed to take any more references as an artist. You should not be able to take characters from, Final Fantasy or Crown Trigger or Neo's or Elden Ring. You shouldn't be allowed to take any of those references. You shouldn't be able to, because you're going out there, and I guarantee many artists do it, that they go out there, what does this look like? What is this person talking about? Let me get an idea and let me go reference that artwork. And then you draw it to your original thing. And looking at AI, yes, maybe there are similarities, but nothing's original anymore. And that work that you're creating is referenced a piece from the internet. I don't think anyone's stealing. I don't think AI is stealing your work. It's referencing it to build an original piece of artwork, whatever that case might be. Just like in all the artwork that I have provided artists for my content creation, at the end of the day, it is creating its original own piece of artwork to then have that person use. I don't see an issue with that. I don't see it stealing. I see referencing, trying to create its own original artwork, and maybe there are similarities in there of maybe something someone drew 10 years ago. And there's no difference in when a artist is handed a piece of reference artwork or goes out to the internet to figure out what the customer is asking for and then referencing that artwork to create their own original artwork. So that's how I stand on the art direction of AI and in the world of art. And yes, I have used AI to create artwork because I just also can't afford artists all the time. But I'm very transparent and let people know this was created, generated by AI. And it's just what it is. So I think there are many different tools out there for content creators to use. And I don't really see an issue with it. I think as long as we're transparent of how we're using AI and what we're using AI for, and being absolutely transparent of what we created, what we didn't create with it, I don't really see an issue. I don't see it stealing as art. I see it referencing as art. Now I guess if you take someone's artwork, deliberately off the internet. Like an artist, you go to someone's portfolio and you take their design and load it in ChatGPT and tell it to actually copy that artwork. Yeah, that could be an issue, but AI has some pretty cool copyright protections in place, and it has stopped me from doing different things. I'm just playing around from creating different things, and maybe because I was using more of like copyright, but using more of bigger copyright, and I was using Alphonse and Al, Edward and Al from Fullmetal Alchemist to try and create some artwork, and it stopped even trying to create art, because now it's like I'm in a domain of where it's copywritten, and it would no longer let me create artwork with that chat. I actually had to make a new chat. So it depends on where you're coming from. And that was even with a non-copyrighted work. It told me the same thing, that I'm breaching some type of the copyright clause, or I don't remember what it actually said, but it was very interesting. So I ended up having to make a new chat for that too. So there are some different things out there. ChatGPT does some interesting things where it will not allow you to generate some artwork. So it sounds like they're trying to put the protections in there to stop from artwork from being directly copied. And anything that I have done, I have always used my artwork that I commissioned an artist for, and I have uploaded, said reimage or reference this artwork and make a new character. So if you see any character besides my character on my channels, that's because I've already used a character that I had that I paid for and upload it up there. I think that's a better way of using art instead of just saying create something new, but I already had something I paid for and referenced it. Again, though, I don't believe borrowing art and saying referencing this reference, not copy, not steal, reference this artwork just like any artist will do to make something unique from it that AI does. And that's where I stand on art. And maybe this will get me some heat. That's okay. I'll take the heat. I'm not worried about it. This is my opinion, and opinions like assholes. Everyone has one, they all stink. So it's okay. You can have your opinion, and all I appreciate is when we have these conversations is that you are a decent human being. But if you're going to come to me and we're going to have this conversation, you're going to curse, scream, and call me a moron, yo, you're out. You're done. I don't want to hear you. Your opinion is now dead to me. I don't got time for, you know, bigots. So, but that's how I feel on the art area of AI. And we're going to see what's going to come. I don't believe in the AI poisoner. I think that is upsetting. And I don't believe that should exist, in my opinion. I think that is a destruction in freedom of creation. And we're taking away people's creation because artists feel threatened in their work. And that is how I feel about AI poisoners. So that's my take on AI and art. I'm looking forward to see where it goes next. And if you are going to use AI and art, do it respectfully. Don't just tell AI to copy this artwork. Tell it to reference the image and make it your own unique thing. Just like you would do when you go to an artist. Your own unique character, your own unique logo, your own unique design. Just like you would go to an artist. Tell it to make an original artwork. And giving it my artwork that I have had commissioned and bought for and paid for to, it has completely, you can't even tell it's my art. You can't even tell, because I give a really detailed description of what I want. So then what the original artwork, you can't even tell the original artwork's there anymore. So it's completely gone. At least for me, you can't tell anymore. And maybe it's because it's referencing to other areas, but it's in my eyes, it's unique artwork because of something I already gave it, and using its knowledge of whatever it has in its databases and large language model to build that art. So that's my take on AI and art. I would love to have more of that conversation and hear other people's thoughts on it, to hear what they have to say about it. I'm always open to conversations. I'm always open-minded to hear what your thoughts are and what's going on, what you do believe, what you don't believe, etc. You know, I never want to just close you out and say my thought process is the best process. That's not true. I think we have a bunch to learn. I think we have a lot to learn from each other. And that's really important, is hearing each other's ideas, opinions, and thoughts. But again, if you're going to be a complete nasty person about it and scream and yell at me, your opinion is dead to me. I don't, at that point, I close you out because you can't talk like a human being and I don't want to hear you. So that's where I stand at AI and art and people's opinions. But so the last piece I want to talk about is AI and tech. I think AI and tech is where a lot of like programmers. Sorry, I take a sip of my mud water here. Delicious, by the way. It's mushrooms. Tastes like a chai. I had a little French vanilla creamer to it. And it's absolutely amazing. It's really delicious. Not sponsored, by the way. Just really delicious. It's mushrooms. Honestly, if you've never heard of it, mud water. It's all mushrooms. Delicious, by the way. Anyway, not sponsored by them. Just drinking my tea-ish thing. But anyway, I digress. AI and tech. I think AI and tech is where a lot of people are scared, right? Yeah, and tech is because, oh no, you know, I have this, we have this new tech coming out and it's called AI and it can program for us. It can do data analytics for us. It can do everything that we do on a natural basis of figuring out code, figuring out that spreadsheet, finding the trends, why we need someone who knows Power BI. And using AI in tech, I'm in identity access management. I'm a Python developer, and I've been in security for 15 years now, infamous security for 15 years, doing all this. And let me tell you, AI has completely changed the way that I approach my work. I use AI for, you know, a lot of things that develop. I use it a lot to develop me skeleton code because I just don't want to write up that code. If I'm stuck on trying to find trends, I give it a little bit of information to help me find what I need. I use it to point me in the right direction. I don't use AI to give me answers or to code for me. I think that's where it can differ the AI user from the AI cheater. If you are the person who comes into AI and you just tell it to write up this code for me, and because you need to do X, Y, and Z on analysis, and it does it and it spits it out, and you just copy and paste it and throw it back into VS Code or your whatever Python interpreter, whatever code you're using, and you run it, and then it looks great, and then the next thing you know, you're questioning how does this work, and you can't explain how it works. Well, you already failed. You let yourself down because you just copy and pasted. I think AI in a whole is not meant to be copy and paste your work. It's meant to be learned from it. Majority of my learning I did with Python was from a Coursera class, Python for Data Science by IBM, not sponsored, and also through ChatGPT and constantly asking it questions over and over again. Sometimes it was the same questions. Yes, I gave snippets of code and saying, I don't understand this. Can you please break it down to me like I'm a fifth grader? And it broke it down to me like I was a fifth grader. It explained it like I had a toy box. Inside that toy box, I had some other things. And when I wanted to access it, I did X, Y, and Z in those toy boxes. You can hear the mud water cooking in because I'm talking really fast. So that was the difference between, I think, you know, people using AI to cheat and AI to actually develop and grow themselves. The people who are the ones that are out there, they're actually going to be like, oh, AI, I can just copy. I can just tell it to do something and create me code, which is great. And I see all these different YouTube videos out there that are like, become a data analysis quickly by using GPT. And then these people use GPT and they feed it a spreadsheet, but they still don't understand what it's doing. And using GPT to do AI now to do data analysis, that's only half the battle. The other battle is now taking that data that you built, that GPT built, and understanding it, because at some point you're going to have to present it to a stakeholder. And you're not going to have AI present to a stakeholder. So you need to know what you're doing with your data, because data is all about telling a story. And if someone gives it to AI to develop all this stuff and to create analytics around it, then to create an image, but you don't have to tell back that story, that's great. You can be the most technical person in the world, but if you don't have soft skills to communicate what you're giving back to your stakeholders, your data kind of falls deaf on their ears because they don't care about the charts if it doesn't make sense. It's like reading a book and not having understanding. It's like reading a book and never understanding it. So you're going to provide them data that you ran through AI, but you don't understand the data. So how are you going to explain it back to them? And maybe you understand what was in the spreadsheet, but do you understand what the trends, the analysis that it did for you after it spits it back out? And a lot of it, and GPT is mainly built on top of Python. So if you're actually like look at it and you go through that all the analysis, it's writing everything in Python. So watching one video, I was like, I never open this up because it's just confusing to me. It just boggles me that people will go to GPT, load data into it without fully having an understanding of what GPT is actually doing to learn more. And it just makes me scratch my head. Like, why wouldn't you want to know how that works? That's, you know, it's like working on a car, but not fully understanding how the car works. You just, I just need to change the alternator, but I never understand what the alternator actually does. So it's, and that's kind of like what you're doing with GPT, is that you're loading this into here. It's running some functions on all this code, on those data, but you're not understanding any of those functions they're doing. So you're just getting code, you're just getting another Excel file that spits out for you, and you're giving it to somebody. And while you look great, it's going to come back around, bite you in the ass, because it's going to turn around and say, well, how'd you come up with this? And if you just turn around and say, oh, I used AI. Well, if you're using AI just to come up with this, why the heck do I need you? And that's how people, I believe, are going to lose their jobs. Because they're not taking the extra step and giving the human intuition. They're letting some application do it for them. Whereas when I use AI just to, I don't have a code for me. If I get stuck, I ask it questions. I do all my, I have a developed skeleton code for me. And then from there, I build out my code. I do my all analysis. I find my trends. I spit out charts. I don't, and yes, there might be some things I can do quicker with AI where I might be getting stuck on certain things. Or if I just need a quick piece of code written really fast that maybe I'm not understanding, or I just don't want to develop. I'll have AI do it for me. But 99% of the other code, I understand what's going on. I understand how I made that analysis. And I also understand when I go to give it to somebody, I can explain to a T exactly how I got that data and the story that it's telling. And I think that's something that is going to, even though we're in the AI world and you can have all these cool AI, you know, prompting skills and you know, whatnot, and maybe technical skills, if you cannot communicate with your soft skills and how you got this data into the story that you're telling, it's going to fall on deaf ears because no one cares about the technical aspect. No one cares as a stakeholder, as a VP, as a, you know, whatever president of the company, they're not going to care you used AI to come up with all this data. They just want to know the story of that data now. What they don't care, you know, they don't need to know from A to Z. They're at Z. What is this data telling me? Tell me the story of it. I don't care how you got from A to Z. We care about this data right now in front of us, and tell me how we can explain this and how it's actually working. And what is this data actually telling us? What decisions can we make from this data? Because at the end of the day, data is all about decision making, right? You're trying to take in the alchemy realm of things, we're taking raw, unstructured, chaotic data and trying to turn it into golden insights. And based on those golden insights, the stakeholders then can make actionable, can take those insights and make it actionable and make their best decisions to go forward for the company or for their personal or for their small company, whatever it might be, a company or whatever it is, most of the time it's gonna be a company, and how they can move forward correctly with the data in hand. Unfortunately, if you can't explain that data back to them and you let AI do everything for you, why do we need you? Because the president can do the same exact thing. I think using AI to, in where you are, whether in, you know, tech, whatever area of tech that you're in, security, software development, application management, whatever the case, server management, using AI should always 110% be an extension of yourself and never just let AI do it. It should become that assistant that you've always wanted or always needed for certain things. Me, it was always coding because my brain just could never wrap my head around coding. AI explained it to me directly. I went through so many different people, so many different YouTube videos. Actually, Alex the Analyst was probably one of the best persons who really explained Python really good. But I went through so many, that was only just recently I found him. But recently, AI was like the best thing to learn Python from because it just, I was able to have it break it down for me in a way that people just can't break down coding for sometimes. They explain it at such a technical level. Like I don't care about the memory. I don't care about what's happening inside the memory right now. I just need to understand what's happening on here. Once I start understanding that, I can understand all the memory. I don't care what's happening inside these bytes or these different where it's being held and everything else up there. Like I still don't know that yet because I'm not really trying to pay attention to that yet. I'm not coding at that level. I'm doing data analytics. I'm doing trend analysis. I'm doing a lot of those different things where I don't need to really know what's happening inside the memory. I have an idea what's happening, but I'm not developing at that low level. I need to know all these different, you know, memory allocations and whatnot. Maybe it'll be helpful if things are failing somewhere or, you know, whatever the case, but right now I haven't needed for it. So, and that's where I've always had issues, is that I don't understand why we're explaining this. I just want to know how to freaking, why I just want to understand how come that variable holds that and what that is. And it was never explained to me in specific ways. And like doing for loops was never explained to me correctly. And here comes ChatGPT. And here I am at, it was 2 years ago, I started learning ChatGPT, messing around with Python. And I didn't really kick up into it until last year. I really started getting into it. And it was like the late last year. So about 8 months I was using it. And I wish I was doing it when I started learning, when I started messing around with AI, but I was using AI more for content creation then, instead of Python development. So, and now here we are about almost a year later now that I've been really messing around with Python, and I can write things in my head and then come down and sit down and write a program. I don't need GPT to write skeleton code for me if I don't want. I can write it myself, but why waste the time writing skeleton code? That's just a waste of time. Hey, GPT, I have this program I need to write up. This is what I'm thinking about. This is what I need you to do. Please write the skeleton code. And it'll give me all the skeleton code. All the bullshit skeleton code. And when a skeleton code means like, all right, well, it'll import pandas for you if you're using pandas, which is a data analysis library. Then it will do, you know, if it will do for, and then we'll give you, put your variable here, whatever. And just give you a bunch of different like skeleton code that you just go in and just change certain things. And then from there, you write the rest of your code. So, which is very, very helpful, and saves you, let's say it takes you 15 minutes in writing code. That's 15 minutes saved, and now you can focus on the bigger code and the more intrinsic code that you're going to need to write to get the data analytics that you want. So that is my take on AI in the tech industry and using it as an extension of yourself. And I think that's any area of AI, any area that you're in. I really, whether you're in art, you're in gaming, you're in content creation, AI should not be something that you divorce yourself from, that you use to divorce yourself from the process. AI should be an extension of yourself. Let it become, you know, code, talk to it how you would talk to it. Like if you're having an inner monologue, which many of us do, let that be that application that grabs your thoughts and then spits out your thoughts back to you. And now you have this like amazing conversation. You go back and forth, and you still need that human interaction with certain things, but you have this amazing human interaction, amazing conversation going back and forth between you and this large language model that you have turned to be an extension of yourself. It's extremely, I think, important that people understand that AI should be an extension to yourself and not a way to cheat through things. I think that's like the most important area of AI. And I will always push that on anyone who wants to get into using AI or who is using AI, is that AI should be an extension to yourself, 100%. If you're using it to cheat, you're only failing yourself and you're letting yourself down, because eventually it's going to kick you in the ass because you're not able to understand X, Y, Z is going on. You let GPT do everything. And at that point, if you're letting GPT do everything, why do I need you? How come I need you? I can do that. I can have GPT do everything I want. Just by telling it prompts what I need to do. And maybe you are better prompted than, you know, the other person says, well, I don't need you anymore, but he'll get there. You know, there's enough YouTube videos on how to prompt AI to do X, Y, and Z. I've always found that AI is a better use case. And when it's an extension to me, and you know, if I have questions for it, if I need skeleton code created, if I need some extra assets for my content created, I use AI as an extension to me, as a learning device and a learning outlet. It's never a way to cheat. I think cheating inside your corporation or your content creation is just a shortcut, and you're divorcing yourself from the process, and you're not allowing yourself to fully understand what's happening. And the last error I want to touch on is AI in school or education. I think this is a massive area that can really help kids who are struggling, not understanding certain topics, going to extra help and still not hitting the grades they need to make. I mean, granted, our school education in America is absolute trash. And that's not taking a hit at the teachers. The teachers are put into work, do amazing jobs, and teachers don't get enough credit for what they do. I don't want to get political, but I'm just talking about education at the higher level, where it's not funded, it's not taken care of, it's not given the proper education that our children need. So it's an absolute abysmal of where we are in education in this country. Again, not at the teachers. Many teachers are actually doing an amazing job and spending their own money and putting in hours outside of school to make sure that the children they are teaching are getting the best education that they can give with the resources they have provided by their states. Other than that, I believe that AI in education should not be shunned. It should not be shut down by teachers. It should not be shut down by the Board of Education. It should be looked at as an extension to the student, and how the student can actually become smarter by using AI, by using it to help them understand logic. I use it with my daughter. It's something when I'm studying with her. I'm not a math whiz. I failed math horrendously in school. And at that time, I wish I had this type of tool when I was growing up, because AI would have saved me from failing math. I would probably be in a different place mathematically at age 40 if I had AI back then. I was age 13, because there's just things that just did not click for me, that now when I'm doing math with my daughter, the similar math back that she's doing now that I was doing when I was 13, and having it explained to me like I'm a fifth grader and how to break down fractorials and all that nonsense, it's now like, oh, okay, that sort of makes sense. I understand this more. Instead of trying to teach the student the same way as everyone else, because unfortunately, no one learns the same way. No one learns the same way. I'll say it one more time. No one learns the same way. And so having your AI, which then becomes like your personal teacher in any subject that you want, you can make a chat for math, social studies, science, Spanish, whatever you need help with, you can hit it with so many different questions and it will answer all those questions. That's just really helpful, because now you can break down those questions in formats that, you know, maybe a teacher doesn't do. I remember working with my daughter. She was like, oh, wow, how come my teacher doesn't teach it like this? And I think just a teacher does what a teacher does. And it's nothing against a teacher. They have a specific way of teaching something. And that's fine. Some kids get it. Some kids don't. And then you can have, you can look as AI as your kid's own personal tutor. Ask it questions that you need help on, and it breaks it down for you. I always tell my daughter, if you're going to use AI, I make her use my account so I can see everything she's doing. Because if I see something that I don't like, I'm gonna have a discussion with her. Like, now you're cheating, and you're on borderline cheating. We're not here to use AI to take shortcuts. We're here to use AI to become a better person, to make ourselves the best person we can be in the area that we want to be in. Taking shortcuts in life is just, you know, you're cheating. There are no shortcuts in life. To get anywhere in life, you got to take the hard route. And if you can take a shortcut, well, you're not going to get far. I think everyone's just lacking patience these days. And we need to you just have to be patient to get to where you want to get to. And sometimes patience is just you understanding something longer than someone else takes to understand something. And that's okay. Not everyone's going to understand something the same way you are. And again, that's fine. Using AI, though, to help you get there is not a shortcut. It's using a tool in a specific way to help you understand the material at hand. So the student, in this case, my daughter, will sit down together and use AI so we can go through specific questions and have it break it down in such a way that, oh, I understand this now. How come my teacher never taught to me like this? And then, like I said before, a teacher may not know to teach it like that. But now you have a way that you can break it down yourself and learn it in a different way. And sometimes it's all a student needs is to be taught something in a different way. Take it from a different angle. And AI can do that. Sometimes teachers just can't break it down like that. Or they explain things in such a way that it just confuses students even more. So having that AI tutor for math, science, social studies, whatever the classes you're taking, English, and help writing English papers. You know, grammar, I suck at grammar, but there are certain things that I'll take if it's a big, like for myself, if it's a big email out to some executives, I throw it into AI. I'm like, can you just please review this? Make sure my grammar is correct. Don't change anything. just make sure my grammar is correct and it sounds okay. And then it doesn't change anything for you. It will say, well, based on my review, you're missing this comma here, you're missing this comma here. I do recommend changing this sentence to say whatever. And it does give you some really good input on how to make yourself sound clearer. It's like having no different than having an executive assistant. I wrote this, please review it for me. And then that assistant takes it and rewrites it up for you just to make it sound clearer. Because, you know, not many executives, CEOs, presidents are going to write their own letter. That's why they have executive assistants. So no different than having AI. So my daughter loves AI. She doesn't use it all the time, but there are times when she's going to be, Dad, and you really need help. And I, you know, whatever. So I'm like, all right, let's bring up GPT and see what we can learn from it. I don't think that AI should be shunned in school. I really feel it should be, again, used as a tool. And I feel like whenever people shun something or knock it down or kick it or say, this is crap, it's not good, it's because they lack understanding and they're threatened by it. And the biggest thing that humans are fearful of the unknown. And the moment they are scared of the unknown or don't understand something, that thing that they don't understand or don't know what it is right away, they hate it. They don't want it in their life because they don't understand, because humans fear the unknown. And by the unknown, they feel threatened because they don't know how it's going to take them forward. And I always say, I think embracing unknown is the best thing you can do, especially with GPT and AI. I don't see any issues with it in classrooms. I think there should be a way of using it, and using it to cheat, no. Using it to say, give me a full essay on the Civil War with a tone of, you know, whatever, you know, give it a 3-page paragraph of a tone of a 7th grader. And it spits out this essay when you know that student hasn't handed in any homework in the whole year, that would be a questionable way of using AI. But if you're a student who wants to be accountable and responsible and wants to show some effort, you write up the essay yourself. Then you take that same essay, you copy it into GPT and say, hey, rate my essay. How would you rate this based on what I wrote? And give me some pointers to make it better. Based on the Civil War, and it will go through your whole essay. It will read it for you, and it'll point out some areas where you might need to clean up. It might actually point out some, hey, this is an incorrect fact, you might want to fix this. So it's very interesting how you can use AI. And if a student is taught to use AI correctly, they'll use AI correctly. If a student's left to their own devices at age 13, yeah, they're going to use it to cheat, because why? Because you're already shunning it and saying it's a bad thing. Why should they do anything more than cheat? Because they're not being told to use it correctly. So now it becomes it becomes taboo, and everyone wants to use a taboo thing. So I think that teachers should take on AI and really push it forward and bring it in light in front of students. And teach them how to use it. Yes, you're gonna have students who will use it for good, and you can have students use it for bad. But and I know it's hard to tell the difference between an AI generated document versus a non AI generated document. And you can throw any of those documents into an AI verifier, and those don't really work. And many companies have came out saying they don't work. There are some things you can look for in terms of when you're reading. There's a lots of reuses of words. AI lets you use like the word embark and a bunch of like embark a lot. Actually, when I'm writing up things, I'm like, when I'm writing up things and, you know, hey, help me write up a description. I can't tell you how many times I write the word embark. I'm like, you use the word embark way too much. So then I just take what I originally wrote, and just change it again. And I ask for pointers on it. But if you're asking it to write up anything, you're going to notice repeat of words. You're going to notice the same words used over and over again. That is how a teacher can know that someone used AI, because you're going to get repeat words. You're going to get words that students never use. And like, I never used the word embark. So if I put that out in a description, people are going to, you know, people who know me will know, well, Tom didn't write that. So I try to always make sure that my tone and my verbiage is always me. I just try to go out there and just, hey, AI, help me make this sound better in my tone. And I try to also give it words like don't use embark, don't use this. Like embark is a big one I always like to use whenever typing up a description. I don't know why. It's just a big one. But I noticed that even if I don't, in a lot of different things, I've noticed that embark is a big word that AI likes to use. So there's just things. If teachers are educating themselves in AI, in the world of AI, they're going to learn AI very quickly and how it spits out documentations, how it spits out essays, and they'll be able to catch a student who's using it versus a student who's not using it. And you just notice that by the way it's written. If you have a student that's handing in, you know, essays, and they're not written well, you know, maybe the student struggles in writing in English, and then they hand you this essay that is like words that they have never used in their life. I used to have a teacher in high school that used to tell us, do not use words you cannot spell. So if you're having a student that is using words that they have never used and probably can't spell, yeah, it's probably AI generated. But I think if the student is using it correctly and nurtured to use it correctly, to go out there and write, to not have AI write up the essay for themselves, but to really take a full shot at writing your own essay and then give it to AI to look it over before you hand it to the teacher, which will kind of be like, hey, go ahead and, you know, let's go ahead and review this for me so I can make sure that I'm going to hand in, you know, a good essay. It will go through and read the document and give you pointers as long as you ask to do that. If you tell it to just, hey, rewrite this essay for me, you're kind of divorcing yourself from the essay process. You're divorcing yourself from trying to understanding and learning more. And I can understand where teachers are coming from in that aspect, is that teachers, you know, students aren't going to learn. They're just going to cheat. So I understand that aspect. But the way I've been using it with my kids is by making it, and I'll say it again, an extension to themselves. It's not a tool to cheat with. It's not a tool to get things done. It's not a tool to take a shortcut. It's a tool to help you understand what you're learning. It's a tool to make you, help you understand what you're writing, and to help explain certain things that maybe you were getting stuck on in school. So that's how I came across it, as a person who is all about AI and all about learning. I don't think there's anything wrong with having certain extra outlets to learn, and AI is one of those. So I don't believe that AI should be shunned into schools or crapped on. I will say, yes, for there, AI is only as bad as the user. If the user is going to use it for bad, yeah, it's going to be, you know, to cheat. It's going to cheat. Again, you can't control the students in your class, outside your classroom. So the only thing you can do is just acknowledge, you know, make yourself knowledgeable on what you're doing. And if I was a teacher and I gave an essay on X, Y, and Z, I would have, you know, whatever the essay was, whether Revolutionary War, the French or some more, whatever they're learning in school, I'm using English, or, you know, book like The Great Gatsby, anything like that. I would then turn around and say, I would go to AI and I would generate 4 or 5 different essays using AI. So when someone hands me a piece of paper and I already know what AI looks like, what it's going to sound, and I'm reading that piece of paper and it sounds like it's AI generated, I'm going to question your student. And just because then you'll have some similar things in there. So that's how I would handle AI in the classroom. But I really believe that it should be given a fair chance to allow a student to learn in a separate way than just from the teaching of the classroom. And teachers should not feel threatened by AI. You can't get rid of a teacher. AI requires human input. AI requires human intervention. In AI, to even automate anything, it needs you to develop it first, so then it can automate your workflow. There's no such thing as super AI yet that can do whatever it wants to do without you. I think that's coming, but even when that does come, I don't feel like anyone needs to be threatened around certain things. As long as you're educating yourself as a teacher, as a IT tech, as an artist, as a developer, as whatever the heck, whatever you are, whatever industry you're in, as long as you're educating yourself on the tools that are coming out, and AI is a massive tool, I think that you'll be fine and understand how it works. And I'll say it again, it should not be shunned in the classroom. I really believe that students should be able to use AI for freedom of creativity, freedom of learning, and educating themselves where the education system, again, not shy teachers, but where the education system in the United States of America is failing the crap out of them. I think AI is going to be the way that students are going to differentiate from each other, to use an extension of themselves and learn as much knowledge as they can, become a you know, an extremely smart person, because not from the teachers, but just from what the schools are blocking, what we're not allowed to learn, or what they don't teach us in school. We only get taught half truths, or if that's even a truth at all in school. So that's how I think AI should be used in the educational realm, and even in the college rooms as well. I really think students should be, hey, write my own app. No, same thing. You're getting stuck on freaking whatever high level calculus. Yo, go to GPT. It's going to help you out. You get to write a crazy ass freaking, you know, thesis. Go to GPT. It's going to help you out. Don't have it write your thesis. Give it the idea to talk about ideas with it, so you can build and brainstorm and build your own thesis. That's how AI should be used. It really should be used as a tool, an extra brainstormer, an assistant, a developer to help you make skeleton code, whatever the case you're going to use it for. That is how I believe AI should be used. And whether you like it or not, it's here. It's here to stay. I know they're trying to regulate it, but I think it really took off faster than anyone ever thought. And when GPT-5 comes here, it's going to completely revolutionize everything. So whether you're not on board or on board, you're either moving forward or you're being left behind. And I hope people see more and more how important AI is going to be in our human revolution. And it's going to really set people apart in each industry. If you're a teacher using AI, you're going to be ahead of the students. If you're a teacher, if you're a developer, you're going to be ahead of all your developers. If you're an artist, you're going to be ahead of all your artists. And if you are a developer in gaming, in like the industry of creation or content creation, you're going to be ahead of all the other people. There is no reason to sit there and shun AI when you can use it as a tool and an extension to yourself. And that is my take on everything AI, all these areas. This has been sitting and brewing with me for a while. I really wanted to discuss this and to get this AI topic out there. I know it's, and this is what our podcast is going to be like. This is just something I really wanted to talk about and get it out there and hopefully get a conversation around this. So, but I appreciate everyone listening to this. So, well, a podcast will be out every Tuesday. And I'm not sure what the next topic is going to be like, but I got a week to figure that out. So I'm a little late on recording this. I'm actually recording this on Tuesday because the weekend got away from me and whatever. So just craziness. But other than that, ladies and gents, I appreciate you all listening to this. And I look forward to checking you out in the next one. I hope you have a great day. If you are up in the Northeast, yeah, good luck with that snow. And I'll check you out in the next one. Peace out, Alchemist. Bye.